cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For in this days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For in this days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Amen. It's not over. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For in this days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for always being such a kind, kind God. You're so good to us. You're so faithful to us. We know that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come in a group of believers who know that you are in control, that you are the Lord of Lords, you're the King of Kings, and that you have us in your hand, and we can come and thank you, God, for all the wonderful things you've done for us. Lord, we can come. come and hear the word, and it can teach our minds and our hearts, Lord. We thank you, God, for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Amen. Listen to that one more time. My hope is built on nothing less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame.
We're going to sing it out, but wholly trust.
But wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone, the cornerstone.
And Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, and the Savior's love, and through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
When darkness seems to hide His face,
darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
My anchor holds.
My anchor holds within. Cause Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, and through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
He is Lord, sing it with me.
He
sound.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone,
faultless to stand,
faultless to stand before the throne.
Christ alone.
And Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, and through the storm, He is Lord, He's Lord of all.
Amen, what a wonderful God. This morning.
Okay, we're going to be back in Acts chapter 16 this morning. Chandler asked me the verses and I was off by two. I'm going to be in verses 4 through 12 instead of 4 through 10. All right, so the journey begins, the second missionary journey Paul now not only has Silas as a fellow missionary, but also now Timothy is joining this merry band of gospel sharers. And they start stomping through Lystra and Derbe. And from there, they make their way north and westward, going up into the far reaches of what is modern-day Turkey. Not really knowing the plans that God has for them, they're looking to break new ground. They certainly want to see some of the Christians that they have won to the Lord previously, some of the stops along the way they'll revisit, as they already have. And then they want to go to new places. In this message, I want to show you several ways in which God leads us. God leads us is the title of this, or when God leads is the title of this message. And I appreciate you being here today. You know, you could have chosen not to come. It takes an effort to get up and go to church on a Sunday. It's a weekend. You know, you could be at the lake. Or you could be anywhere as far as that goes. You chose to honor God and to be in His house to worship and to listen to the Word of God preached. And I think you made a good choice, not because I'm the one up here preaching to you, but because being in God's house is a good thing. And it's good for you and for your family. And I pray today that this passage would show you something that is needful and that is a blessing to you. And I hope you leave today having been visited by the Spirit of God. So the title is When God Leads. Starting there with verse number 4, it says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." I could have stopped at verse 10. I think that's what I intended to do, but I went through verse 12 anyway. So, when God leads, there are several different ways that God leads us. And I think this passage of Scripture is a good spot to see some of the ways in which God leads His people, the way in which God speaks to us and directs us. This is a well-known passage of Scripture to Bible students because of the nature of this passage is pretty outstanding. Here the missionary was, and he wanted to go to this place to preach, and God said, no, we don't know exactly how that message was delivered. And he said, well, if I can't go there, I guess we'll go this way. They wanted to go over here like that, you know, to the west and kind of southern area. God said, no. And Paul said, well, let's go north and to the east, into Bithynia. And God said, no. And then that night, he's like praying, apparently. He's like, Lord, you don't want me to go this way. You don't want me to go that way. There's not many ways left, right? Go back to where I just came from or go that way. And God showed him in a vision that he wanted him to go that way. There was a man of Macedonia. How did he know he was from Macedonia? Scripture doesn't tell us, but probably by the way he was dressed, maybe by how he spoke, or maybe just the guy said, I'm from Macedonia in his vision. I don't know. But he knew that he was from Macedonia. Well, what's so important about Macedonia? Macedonia is what we today would call Europe. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm of European descent. I think. I mean, I'm an American, and, you know, no telling what all blood that I have in me. But for the most part, I'm pretty sure that I'm European, whether it be Scottish or Welsh or Irish or German or Hessian. I don't know. I'm something European, more than likely. My skin makes me think so. My voice changes by where I live at over a long period of time. I'm Southern. There's no doubt about that. But I'm pretty sure that the ancestors come from what is Europe. This is the first time that the gospel will be carried into what we today would know as Europe. And so that's a big thing. And I can tell you that the effect that the gospel had on Europe was tremendous. And from there, of course, it spread into all of the rest of the known world. And eventually, whenever us Europeans came over and settled this part of the world, we brought the gospel with us. Now, I'm not trying to say that everything we did when we came was a great thing. I'm not going to whitewash history, but I'm just telling you that this is a big deal that the gospel is going to the European world for the first time. It seems very obvious that that's exactly what God wanted to do, because he said, no, you can't go that way. No, you can't go that way. And by the way, here's the vision. I want you to come this way. So I think you will see from this passage some different ways in which God leads us. The first thing I want to say as we think about how God leads us is to start with the obvious. God leads us by His written word. His written word. I can't place enough emphasis on the importance of the Holy Bible. Those of us who are believers, we put great stock into the Word of God. I'm one of those radical, fanatic Christians that believes that the Word of God is inerrant, has no error in it whatsoever. You can't find anywhere in it where it's not completely accurate and truthful. That's what I believe. And if I didn't believe that, I'd throw it away. Because I'm not going to let somebody else decide for me which part of it is accurate and which part of it is not. So I'm going to trust in full faith that every bit of God's Word is truth. And it is the most important thing in my life to understand what God wants from me. The Word of God is. It's His Word. Everything else is secondary to His Word. Everything is secondary. Even God speaking to me, absolutely. Even God speaking to you directly is secondary to the Word of God. Because I can trust the Word of God, but I cannot trust your heart. And I cannot trust my heart. Because my heart sometimes is going to tell me what I want to hear. I'm going to hear exactly what I want to hear. We're in the middle of a big political season. We listen to and we hear and we think exactly what we want to hear, don't we? And we think exactly like we want to think. But the Word of God is not to be distorted. It's truth. You should base your life and your practice and your home, everything that you are about, upon the Word of God. God leads through His Word. It has to be preeminent. Because in His Word are the words of life. In His Word is the story of Himself toward us, His Son, Jesus, who died for us, and so forth. His Word. That's how God leads us. He leads us through His written word. Paul had a certain direction from God that he needed to be taken the gospel to Jews and Gentiles. God had already shown him this, and he was given a direct revelation. I got news for you. God's not doing direct revelations like He used to. He did it with His apostles. He did it with the first church. But when somebody comes around today and tells me, hey, I got a revelation from God, I say, go tell somebody else. I'm not interested in your revelation. You can tell me what you think that God showed you in His Word. I'll have a conversation with you then. But I'm not interested in somebody having a special word of knowledge. I'm not interested in somebody who thinks that there's something special and that they're getting some unique revelation that nobody else has ever received. I don't play that game. I go to the Word of God. That's it. That's the whole thing for me. Okay? Does God speak to me? Obviously He does. I wouldn't be standing before you if I didn't believe that God had something He wanted for me to say. But when I say it, I'm going to say it based on the Word of God. Everything has to be filtered through His Word. And everything that is not in lockstep with God's Word needs to be discarded. So, people can talk about revelations or visions and these kind of things. And if it lines up with the Word of God, then maybe I'll be willing to receive it. But I can tell you, I come with a pound of skepticism when people start talking about things that they have seen and things that they have dreamed and so forth. Does God stir our spirit? Sure, He does. But our primary source of revelation is through the written Word of God. You need to be spending more time than you can inside of God's Word, and He will show you and direct you very clearly through the written Word. Now, with Paul, he was told directly in Acts chapter 9:15. We've already studied it. He said to him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." He already knew what he was supposed to do. The first church, when Jesus was resurrected, Jesus told him, he said, "Y'all go up into the upper room. Y'all go into a room and pray together and wait until you receive power." And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And that's when they knew that they were to be witnesses in that area and in the surrounding area and then into the othermost parts of the world. That was what was said to them after that time. Before Jesus left this world, He spoke to His disciples. He spoke to us as a church. And He gave us what we call the Great Commission. That's not in the Bible. It's just what we call it, the Great Commission. But in that Great Commission of Matthew 28 is where He tells us to go into all the world, teach and baptize and make disciples. One deacon in a former church says, "Make a great commotion about the Great Commission." I've always liked that little saying. We ought to be busy about living out the Great Commission. That's God's word for us. That's God's will for us. That's how He leads us. That's what He wants us to do, is to carry His gospel to as many people as we can. So God leads by His written word. Our call, our response to the written word is threefold. I'm sure there's more than just these three points to be made here. But we are to serve, we are to sacrifice, and we are to submit. You see that here with Paul and Silas and Timothy. Paul was not on a sightseeing tour here. He would spend a lot of time on this trip. This was a 3 or 4 year journey. This one was quite a bit longer than the previous journey. Through beautiful country, no doubt. You can walk in the steps of Paul if you got the money. there's a tour guide that will take you on the second missionary journey if you were so inclined, for a price. All the little places he went. And you might have to wear a headscarf if you're a woman or whatever. You know, you're in the heart of Muslim country in most of these places today. But when he was going through this beautiful area, he was not going there to see the sights. He was going to serve. He was going to share the word of God. He and these other men had given their lives to serve God. That's what consumed them. They were consumed with finding opportunity to share the good news. I was told that whatever consumes you is what you worship. Whatever consumes you is what your idol is. Maybe a little bit much, but there's a lot of truth to it. What consumes you certainly is what drives you. It's what leads you. What should lead us is His Word. We should be in love with the gospel. We should be in love with telling the story to people. We should be ready to serve. Their heart desire was to truly to serve. They had to sacrifice. Think about being a missionary and the sacrifice that it takes. They left home. They left, in some cases, family, mother and father and brothers and sisters behind, nieces and nephews. They left the familiarity of their surroundings, of their country. They go into a foreign land where they don't necessarily know the language, maybe, in some cases, although Paul was a Roman citizen too, so I'm sure he knew multiple languages. And so the sacrifice was steep. But I tell you what, when you serve God, the sacrifice may be steep, but the reward is great too. As they left and went to these different places, they were not always welcome. We already saw he'd been stoned in one place and dragged out of town, left for dead. And many other times, he would find himself in peril. They would find themselves in peril. They would find themselves thrown in jail. They would find themselves mistreated. Often, we need to understand that serving God comes with a price. It comes with sacrifice, sometimes hardship. But it's worth it. It's worth it for a soul to be saved. It's worth it for someone to hear the good news. It's not about us. It's about Him. He can decide what happens. I'm going to sacrifice if I'm going to serve. And then we have to submit ourselves. You see that in verses 6 and 7 here. It says, when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden to go to Asia. Then when in Mysia, they were forbidden to go into Bithynia. They had to submit themselves to God's will, not their own. They were just trying to do what was right. There's nothing bad about preaching the gospel to the people in Asia. There's nothing bad. There's nothing wrong about that. Matter of fact, he would certainly later do that. You're familiar with a lot of the cities and places that he later went to. Philadelphia, Ephesus, Sardis, Phrygia, Smyrna. Wish I could quote all seven of them. A couple of them slip in my mind at the moment. But those cities that are written about in Revelations, right? Those are the places that God said, no, don't go. That's not where I want you right now. Sometimes when he closes the closed door is not forever. It's just for now. I need you somewhere else. There's another place that I want you to be. You didn't send him the other direction. And as far as I know, Paul never even went the other direction. But Peter did. You can read in 1 Peter chapter 1. He starts naming off those places in Bithynia that Paul didn't go. Peter maybe had already been there, actually, is what they really think. And because of that, you know, it seems reasonable that it wasn't where God wanted him to go. He wanted him to go to new fertile land, into the heart of Roman country, influential Roman country. And that's where he was heading. He had to submit himself to that. I want to quickly work through some other ways in which God leads. We've already submitted that he leads through his written word. That's primary. And we must be committed to serve, sacrifice, and submit ourselves to that guidance from God. But I want to show you a few more ways that God leads. Number two, not only does he lead us through his written word, but sometimes God leads through his leaders. A lot of times, I should say, God leads through leaders. Verse number three, talking about Timothy here. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. By the way, it says was a Greek. That's why we believe that he's passed away, past tense. And he's not around to, by name being mentioned here. But whatever the case is, Paul says, hey, I like this young man. I liked him when I first met him the first time around, and I like him even more now. He has a good reputation. He needs to come go with us. We need a strong back. I need somebody that I can pour truth into. One day he's going to be a great leader for the Lord. You need to come go with us. First thing we got to do is circumcise you, boy. And I'm going to do it myself. I don't know if I would have signed up for that. Timothy submitted to it. He submitted to it. Leaders lead. God establishes leaders. There's interesting verses of Scripture about leaders. You know what? The Bible talks about how God controls their minds like rivers of water. Sometimes we think about leaders and who our leader is and wonder if we're getting what God wants us to have, or some might would say what we deserve. As far as God's church is concerned, God establishes his church and God establishes leaders. Timothy would become like a son to him. An interesting side note. Brother Sam brought this to my attention last week after the sermon was over. I didn't make this connection, but it's a good one. John Mark, who later, as you know, was reconciled to Paul, would be very helpful to him. Peter talks about him in 1 Peter 5:13. He calls Mark his son. So just as Timothy had become very close to Paul, Mark becomes very close to Peter. Bible scholars will tell you that the Gospel of Mark probably is Mark writing down sermons that Peter preached. I don't know if that's true or not. But it would make sense that a lot of what he knew and a lot of what he wrote was from learning it from Peter, who called him his son. He spent a lot of time with Mark. By the way, he spent a lot of time with Timothy and Silas too. It was Silas who wrote down 1 Peter, he says in chapter 5. Silas is jotting it down for me. So the same group of believers rubbed elbows together, and that's a good thing. But Timothy would be a son to Paul. He listened to Paul and he followed Paul. He did what Paul told him to do. Sometimes God leads us through leaders. Now, through the years, I have kind of warned you, hey, don't put too much stock into any one individual, because people are fallible. We're not inerrant like the Word of God. We fall short. I fall short. I would never do it, but I could probably give you an opportunity here as a church and say, hey, tell me some things you know that Brother Silas is, you know, fall short in. We could probably spend a little bit of time and do that. Some of y'all know me pretty good. I wouldn't want to do that. Ken's already ready to say something, and that's fine. I know a few things about him too. Goes both ways. So the point I'm trying to make is that I have warned you. Don't put too much stock into any one individual, but now let me backtrack a little bit and tell you what the Word of God also says, is that you need to listen to people who are elders. You need to listen to people who have godly wisdom. You need to listen to people who have walked a day or two more than you with the Lord. God leads us sometimes through leaders. Titus chapter 2 is a great chapter that discusses that very thing. God wants for the older generation to give to the younger generation a good pattern of life and godliness. Just a couple verses there. Verse 3, it says, But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. He stresses to the older Christians, it's important that you set a good example for the next generation. God leads us through His Word. God leads us through leaders. You probably wouldn't be here if you did not in some way trust my leadership. And that's not something that I take lightly. I don't want to get puffed up. I don't want to get a big head or anything like that. I'm not a pastor of a 1,000 or 2,000 people, as was prophesied on me one time by one of my former church members. Remember when I told you about people who get a word of knowledge? That was Exhibit A. Maybe it was because I didn't end up being what I was supposed to. Well, maybe he was right and I'm wrong. I don't know. But I'm faithful. I'm thankful for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful that you're willing to, despite who I am, come alongside me and together worship God, together serve the Lord. That's an important thing. You have trusted me with leadership. You've submitted yourself to that leadership. You've given me prayer and guidance when I needed it. And I pray that would continue day by day. God leads through leaders. He uses people in our lives as a good example. They may not always give the best advice, and all that is said to you should be considered and prayed about, obviously, before you make any major decision, for sure. Just because somebody tells you to do something doesn't mean that you are to just jump on it and do it. Consider the source. Pray about it. But an elder with wisdom will know how to lead and guide the younger generation without trying to usurp the authority of the Holy Spirit. An elder with wisdom knows how to impart knowledge and wisdom to the younger generation. Proverbs 11:14, what a great verse. It says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. I love that verse. May God give us faithful counselors. People who will speak the truth that will guide us as we move forward. God leads through leaders. Number 3. God leads sometimes with a message. I didn't go into the details as I read it, and if you haven't been here, you really probably didn't know what I was talking about. But as we started here, it says as they went through in verse 4 of the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. It would be natural if you hadn't been here to say, well, what's that talking about? Well, in the previous chapter is where you learn about what those decrees were. that Jerusalem council, when they got together over this idea of circumcision and other things, the law keeping, and came up with a list of things that they wanted Paul and Barnabas and whoever went to these places where Gentiles were being saved and tell them, this is what the church at Jerusalem has to say. Welcome to the family of God, and you need to know these things. And so that's what they did. In each of these places they went, they shared those things that have been decreed at Jerusalem. The decision that was made was being carried out. I want you to listen to me carefully. I believe that God was in control of that church whenever they made those decisions. I truly believe that. I don't believe they came to a wrong decision. I believe that God was in control of that. Just like I believe that God was in control of this church when you called me to be your pastor. If I didn't believe that God was involved in that, then I'm standing up here leading a lie, right? I believe that God was in control. I believe that God was in control when you chose deacons and we ordained them. Because that's how the Word of God describes what happens when someone is ordained and the church chooses. That He moves people and that they choose, believe that God was in control. I believe that. Do I believe the process was perfect? No. We're humans. But I believe that God is sovereign and He knows what He's doing. I'm quite sure that not everyone here agreed when I was called to be pastor here. The vast majority of you were not here during that time, if any of you for that matter. Anybody was here when I first came pastor? I don't think so. There's a few that are still around the prairie. I'll be honest with you, I've read the minutes. I know that not everybody agreed. I'm glad I didn't know those minutes whenever I came here. Ooh, that was scary. And I'm sure the same thing was true whenever we called deacons. And it may not be so much about what some of you thought about some that we called, maybe as much as it was about some that you felt that we didn't call that we should have. But at the end of the day, I have to trust and believe that God is in control. And I can trust Him for what He has done and what He is doing. Whenever the church at Jerusalem said, go and carry this message to all these places, Paul, being the apostle, submitted to that, agreed to it, and did it. Right after he circumcised Timothy, by the way. But he's the one who started the whole conversation about it to begin with. Refused to circumcise Titus and so forth. God leads with a message. The message was pretty simple. The Jerusalem church told him, for the sake of fellowship between Jews and Gentiles, go and tell those Gentile Christians, don't be fornicating. The Bible already told them that. They should know better. Don't be eating meat associated with idols or things strangled, and stay away from blood. Now, those aren't in many church covenants that I know of. Not in many bylaws and so forth. It was an issue for that day and time, and probably still would be an issue if we had a bunch of Jewish Christians around. They still wouldn't like those kind of things. Rightfully so, in most cases. I don't know how I feel about I like a good juicy steak, I ain't gonna lie to you. Probably not going to do that in First Baptist Tel Aviv. Anyway, you might think it was unnecessary, but the results speak for themselves. After they shared these decrees with the places that they went to, look what verse 5 says. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So, regardless of how we feel about what the Jerusalem church came up with, it was well received, and the people were in unison together, and when people are pulling in the same direction, more work gets done. I can tell you the physics behind it if you need it. But the logic behind it is there as well. When we're on the same page, we have the same mission and same calling, ooh-wee, watch out, devil. Something great's about to happen. It dawned on me when I was preaching my aunt's funeral. I looked out there and saw all these people from Bethel Chapel. And I looked over here and saw all these people from Ebenezer Baptist Church. The two Baptist churches that was so influential in my teenage years right after becoming a Christian. And when I got up to give the obituary of all things, I said, the devil's not happy with this situation. When Bethel Chapel people and Ebenezer Baptist people get together, the devil's not happy. And I want you to know, when the people of God are on the same page, the devil's not happy. Because we're fixing to get something done when the people of God have the same shared vision. And whenever that vision is about glorifying Jesus Christ, especially, and sharing the good news. And so they shared the word that was to be shared, and it was well received, and the church was established, it says, in faith. There was rejoicing, because the Gentiles kind of felt like second-rate Christians, that they weren't near as Christian maybe as the Jewish Christians were, because, well, we're Gentiles. But Paul was able to say, that's not at all how us Jews feel. But let me tell you how we do feel. We don't do anything having to do with idols. And it's going to be very hard for us to sit on a pew next to you if we know that you had hamburger last night from the Dinah diner down the road, you know, that was offered to her. That don't sit well with us. And you already know not to fornicate, because that's for all of us Christians, but, well, it's kind of, y'all are worse at it than we are, so y'all need to not do that. Apparently that was just embedded into the Gentile society. Hasn't gone away in all this time, in any society as far as that's concerned. And then those other things about strangling and messing with blood has to do with Jewish laws and, you know, how that sacrifices were offered and so forth. And they just felt very strongly about it, and it was well received. God blessed it. Sometimes God leads with a message. He has a purpose and a plan, and people take that out there and they watch it. They watch it grow. Another thing I want you to notice is that God leads sometimes by closing doors. I've already gone over that with you. You know what I'm talking about. Two different doors He closed there. You say, why would He do that? I think I established it a little bit already. Europe. You need to take the gospel there. That area's been taken care of. That area you're going to go to later. I need you here. Gave him a vision to show him that's where He wanted him. God's been blessing them quite a bit. Prosper their journey. Added young Timothy with Paul and Silas. And now all of a sudden doors closed. And then another door's closed. I can't say it enough. God knows best. And God knows where He wants us and where He needs us. Sometimes those closed doors are truly only temporary. I can see in my life how that God closes and opens doors. No doubt about that. I can tell you story after story of God's providence in my life. It just seemed like every time that I've turned around, you know, God has just opened up a door of opportunity for me in my professional life especially. Teacher said to me the other day, boy, you've moved to a lot of places. You know, everywhere that I've went, I felt like that's exactly where God wanted me to go. And I can tell you the circumstances behind each of those moves. They're logical and spiritual in many ways to me. And I'm thankful for God's blessing along the way. These doors, some of them were temporarily closed. They would go to those places. Have you ever had God close a door for you? I have. I remember at some point when I was miserable, I needed to get out of being a principal. It just 10 years of it was enough. I just had everybody's problems all day long. I love my little classroom where it's just me and my few problems. But when you're a principal, the whole building's problems are your problems. And I tried hard. I really did. I poured my heart into my job. Did the best that I could. But I was ready for a change. I was miserable. And for whatever reason, many years ago, I thought, my last 5 years, I'm going to work in the prison. Get that ERS retirement. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you teachers do, though. A little bit better retirement. And it's going to be great. I'm going to go teach some prisoners, you know, counseling or English. I don't care. I'll do whatever they want me to do. Well, I got to searching through the TDJC website or whatever it's called for the jobs. And there was one that just popped out at me. Recreation director. It had a big salary. You know, I was like, wow. I can, you know, get some soccer balls to some inmates or whatever. I was oblivious to what the process was, for sure. Submitted an application, got an interview. Matter of fact, I applied for a couple different jobs. One of them was for a principal's job within the system. Got an interview for that too. The first time I met, I didn't even get to meet the guy that was hiring. I met one of his accountants or something like that. Just me and him. He asked a set of questions on his clipboard. After about the third question, I thought, this is just straight up a courtesy interview. I'm literally wasting my time. I even said to the guy, I'm wasting my time, aren't I? He goes, yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. He said, we've already got a candidate. He said, but our policy is anybody that is qualified that applies, we give an interview to. You're one of, I think it was like 40 interviews that we're doing. I said, well, I appreciate you doing it. I said, can we go through this interview as if it's not the case? Because I want some honest feedback from you. You ask all the questions you were going to ask. I'm going to answer them like I normally would. And then I want you to tell me what I need to do in order to be able to, you know, get a job like this, if it ever opens up and it's actually competitive. Absolutely. We did. We spent about 45 minutes. Man, I poured my heart out, knowing I wasn't going to give him the job, but selling myself as if I was. And when we got through, he said, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, if we didn't already have this other guy, he said, you'd make a good candidate. I said, well, I appreciate that. I sure do. The next one that I applied for, I felt like I had a better shot of. I asked him, how many people are y'all interviewing for this? 52, I thought. They already have somebody in mind for that one, too. God shut that door. Just shut the door. That's okay. That's not where I needed to be. And everything has worked out for sure. Sometimes God closes doors. Another way in which God leads, He leads through need. He leads through need. They needed the gospel in Europe. They needed it. God tells us to go out into the highways and the byways. Go out into the hedges and bid them to come. Where people haven't heard, where people don't know, we should go. And He moves people to do so. I want you to notice something really important here in verse number 10. After he had this vision, and this guy said, come over here. Verse 10, it says, after he had seen this vision, immediately we endeavored. You catch that? Oh, that's a big shift in the book of Acts. Everything up to this point has been they, Paul and Barnabas, other people, third person, so forth. Now all of a sudden, second person. Now all of a sudden, first person rather, where the person we, plural, is included. In other words, Luke is now on the missionary team. Isn't that interesting? Moving forward, now we have Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. We went after having that vision. Some people make the case that Luke was the one seen in that vision. I don't know if that's true or not. But whatever the case was, there in Troas, or wherever they're at there, is where he meets up with Luke, and the physician, Luke, joins the journey, who also would write one of our Gospels. Isn't that amazing how that works out? Luke writes the book of Acts that we're reading, and also wrote the Gospel of Luke. God leads through need. Sometimes those need are seen in circumstances. Sometimes God just puts it on our heart to act. One time Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, and he said, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul said, you know what? The circumstances aren't right for me to go to Jerusalem right now. There's some people that are after me, but I've looked around me, and I'm not worried about going to Jerusalem right now because I have so many great opportunities right here where I'm at. He spent more time in Ephesus than just about anywhere. And so he just hunkered down for the winter there in Ephesus and waited till the appropriate time when God would lead him forth to Jerusalem. You have three main lighthouses to guide you. You have God's Word. You have God's leaders. And then you have God speaking to your heart through the Holy Spirit. It is best if these three are lined up, obviously. But I want you to know, you can never just follow your heart. You can never just follow your heart. You must be faithful to God's truth first. God's Word always trumps everything else. And when God leads, He will provide. He will provide for the work. He'll never allow your emotions to guide you. Start with His Word. Be in prayer. Seek advice from those with godly wisdom. Allow His Spirit to dwell in you. Then you will truly walk by faith and by the Spirit and not by sight. Let's stand together and sing a verse of invitation.